This is TalkLoudRadio.com.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode 47 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Of course, we're always presented by TalkLoudRadio.com. We come at you live every Tuesday and Friday night on the Going for Two Facebook page, and we are always streaming in the Going for Two app as well. All right, so we're coming out of week six, getting ready to go into week seven. So a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Let me bring on my co-host, Mr. Ryan. How you doing tonight, Ryan?
Fantastic. About yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. How was your fantasy weekend?
Actually, awesome. So I alluded to it to you before the show started. So I went against Todd Gurley this week in my home dynasty league, and he had Latavius Murray. On the Monday night, I was down 22 points. He had Beathard left. I had Devontae Adams, Reuben Foster, and IDP league. So Adams went off. Foster went off. I fell asleep before the game was over at halftime, so I thought, I'm going to take the loss. Woke up, Adams got me the win on that game-winning touchdown.
Nice.
It was incredible. It's to get myself top of the, or second in the league and right there in the playoffs, and it's beat one of my best friends, so I like shoving it in his face a little bit. It made it better.
That's good stuff. Unfortunately, mine wasn't quite as good. I think I did go 6-4, but I lost in a few of the ones that I care about the most. My regular dynasty league, I lost in that league. I lost in the Scott Fishbowl league, unfortunately. And I lost in the Instagram versus Twitter league that I also have, some vested interest in with Brad Evans being in there. That league, I'm just terrible. I got Le'Veon Bell in that league and a few other guys just haven't shown up. So my team is pretty terrible in that league. So I think I've lost all but two games in that league. So not a good showing by me in that league. But overall, I said 6-4, and I had a good DFS weekend, so not too bad overall.
And DFS pays the bills.
Exactly. DFS is the reason I'm on this nice little iMac computer for this podcast, because it paid for it. All right, let's go ahead and just jump right into the news and notes for week six, coming out of week six. Of course, the news kind of broke today that Devontae Freeman's going to be put on IR. So what do you do if you're a Devontae Freeman owner and you don't have Coleman? And then what do you do if you're a Coleman owner?
If you're a Coleman owner, it's terrible to say, but you're pretty happy about it. So that gives you RB2 that you can plug in every single week. If you're not the Coleman owner, it's time to spend some fab budget on Ito Smith. He got a touchdown last week. He led the team in red zone carries. They like him in the passing game, so I think they still are going to have a somewhat of a committee. I can see him getting 30% of the carries and touches for the team, maybe more. So he's worth paying up for in your fab budget and free agency. He should be the top waiver priority this week.
I agree. Are you worried if you're a Coleman owner of the uses that he got this past weekend? I think he had like 10 carries, only 35 yards. He got saved by that late touchdown on the reception, but he really wasn't used as much as you would think he would have been.
I'm not. I mean, we've seen him long enough that we know he's there, and they're just trying to get the young guy involved. So I think he'll be all right with it, and especially with no Freeman and not having to worry about him at all, it's going to be those two.
All right, fair enough. What's next up on the board here?
Next one, the Raiders have put Amari Cooper on the trade block and are hoping to get a first-round pick for him.
I think they're a little delusional on how valuable Amari Cooper is. I don't think that he's worth the first round pick. And I think maybe they're just throwing it out there to maybe sort of inspire him maybe. But I don't think he's worth the first round pick. And I don't think there's any chance in hell that they get that.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be close. I think maybe a first and they got something else back or gave something with him, but he's still 24 years old and he's had to play with Derek Carr. The talent's there. Every fantasy analysis in the world is held on to him for some reason because they know what he can do. I'd love to see him in a different place. I don't, but like I said, you're right. I don't know if someone's going to give that up for him or it's going to go that easy. But who knows with the Raiders?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I guess if they package it with something and they, you know, sweeten the pot a little bit, maybe. But I just don't see what we've seen the last couple of years with Carr, without. I just don't see them getting a first round pick for him, unless it's someone that's going to get a late first round pick anyway. Like if the Saints or somebody needed a extra receiver, which they don't. But if someone like the Saints that might get a late round first pick, if they gave up their late round first for him, I wouldn't be too upset about that. But yeah, if anybody that actually needs a receiver, that's going to be towards the top of the draft, there's no way I'm giving up a first round pick for him.
And Dallas could maybe win that division somehow, which is just terrible, or make a wild card run. They need everything they can to catch the ball.
Yeah, Dallas would be a good landing spot for him. I don't know if it would necessarily increase his fantasy value because it's not like Dak Prescott's lighting it up either. But they need a receiver. They need something there. So maybe that would be a good spot for him to land. Or even Washington, because their receivers right now are pretty terrible. Josh Doctson has not shown up. I don't think Paul Richardson's done too much. Jamison Crowder, I thought that he was going to be good coming into the season. He hasn't done anything. So
he's a letdown.
Yeah, definitely is a letdown. I think Cooper might be able to fit into that offense, especially because he is kind of that short underneath guy sometimes. He can go deep, but Alex Smith would be able to check down to him quite a bit, and he could have some value there if he went to Washington. But I just still don't see them giving up a first-round pick for him.
No, probably not. Next, we got back to the injury front. We have Marshawn Lynch is said to be missing a couple weeks. So Raiders news keeps getting bad. And Amari Cooper, who we just talked about. So the gosh. But what do you think about Lynch in that backfield now?
I mean, honestly, coming in, I wasn't very high on Lynch to begin with. So the fact that he's actually had fantasy value was kind of surprising to me already. I just think that, you know, his usage was justifying that, you know, that pick if you drafted him. But going forward, I mean, you've got what, Doug Martin there. They got Jalen Richard there. I don't know if Doug Martin has anything left. He hasn't really shown me much so far this season. So maybe the running back to own right now is Jalen Richard. He's pretty exciting running back. He had a very good week one, I believe. He had like 13 targets or something crazy like that. I can't remember the exact number, but I think if I want to own a Raiders running back, I think it's probably Jalen Richard. What about you?
Yeah, he's actually in the waivers article we put out this week. He would have been probably one of my top ads if it wasn't for Devonta Freeman going down. But yeah, he's getting the touches and he's catching a bunch of balls. So obviously going to be PPR value. He's had a 9-catch game, a 6-catch game, a 6 and a 7. So it's definitely there. He's been double digit 4 times this year. Now Lynch is out, so chances of that's going up. So he's definitely going to have some value.
100% agree with that. All right, so the next one we got up, we'll stick with the running back theme here. Lev Bell. They haven't heard anything from him yet. We have no idea when he's coming back. If he comes back with the way Connor's playing, what does Pittsburgh do with Lev Bell? Do they just plug him in and just pretend like nothing happened, or do they stick with Connor?
I have no idea, because the Steelers, they don't ever commit him back. Even when they had D'Angelo Williams, who killed it a few years before, when Bell was suspended. As soon as Bell was back, he just disappeared to oblivion. Yep. So I have no idea what they're going to do. Connor's played pretty well, given his matchups. He struggled a little bit in his tougher games, but he's done just as much as everything they've asked for him. I don't know how you can bench him, and I know Big Ben said he wants him to play. So yeah. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know if Bell's coming back. He got faked out today on Twitter by that one dude posting a picture with Lev Bell saying he's going to come back. Did you see that one?
No, I missed that. I have to go and check that out.
Yeah, some kid posted a picture with Le'Veon Bell, and he was like, ran to Le'Veon Bell today in Miami. He said he's going to be at camp Monday, and it got retweeted by Rappaport. The dude had like 200 followers. It was a nobody. Like just some random person tweeted it, and everybody fell for it.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I got a sleeper bot. I got a sleeper bot. It hit me everywhere.
It's crazy. Everybody's such in a rush to get that breaking news that they put stuff out that they haven't even verified yet. And happened earlier this season too, I think. I can't remember what it was. Someone posted something on Reddit and it like went viral.
Gronk get traded.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. Yep, you're right. That's what it was. And it went viral. I don't know. It's kind of crazy to me that this day and age that you don't verify your sources before you put something out there. Going back to Lev Bell, I just don't see how they can just plug and play him. I just think it's going to cause too much turmoil with the team. You know, James Conner's been there in the trenches with them. He's been fighting through these, you know, these tough games and showing up to play, whereas Lev Bell's been chilling at home. I can't imagine that he's just going to walk in there and they're going to say, okay, let's give him, you know, 30-plus touches a game and just put Conner back on the bench. I just think that's going to create too much turmoil with the team. I think they stick with Conner as long as possible. I mean, maybe something happens to Conner and they have to put Lev Bell in there, but I don't think that he's going to come in and be that bell cow back that everyone is hoping that he's going to be when he comes back. I think if they do it at all, it'll be a couple games before they actually work him into the fray, I believe.
And in all reality, I know he's riding jet skis down in Miami, and I don't know. There's a lot to expect out of it and a lot missing.
Yep, agreed. All right, next one we got here is the Giants owner calling out OBJ, telling him that he needs to play more and talk less. What do you think of that? Do you think this gets OBJ going, or what does this do for OBJ's psyche?
I hate it from the owner's perspective on it. I get what he was doing, but you know you're going to get with OBJ, and he talked, but Eli's the problem there. And I think OBJ will get going this week, but I don't think it's because of Mara. I think it's going to be because he's playing the Falcons' terrible defense.
Yeah. I think if me and you showed up there to play against the Falcons' defense, we might actually have a breakout game.
I could get like 20 yards. I might get like a lucky catch and fall forward.
Yeah, I think I might just fall down. I'm not getting hit by one of those guys, so I'm just going to just catch it and fall down. But yeah, I agree. I from the owner's perspective, I don't think he should be involved. I don't think that he needs to get involved with the players like that, and especially to call out, you know, one of your best players. I think his psyche just isn't going to be able to handle it either. I mean, that's just going to add more fuel to the fire. He's already said that, you know, when he's asked the question, do you want to be in New York? And he said that's a complicated question or whatever he said. It's just not going to add anything positive to that. I mean, he's got this long contract now. He's stuck in New York. He's got to live with it. It is what it is, but I just don't agree with the owner calling him out in public like that.
Yeah, and they don't need that drama there, especially with who we're bringing out next, his teammate, who Saquon Barkley, and who just went absolutely nuts. It was fantastic seeing him play this week. He might be top three back in the league now, hands down.
That's crazy to say that, too, being a rookie and being in that terrible offense on top of that. I mean, we saw Todd Gurley when he was in terrible offense. He wasn't very good in his second year under Jim Fisher. But this offense is terrible. I mean, everybody in the stadium, everybody watching at home, all the defensive players, everyone on the bench, they know he's getting the ball. Literally on almost every other play, he's getting the ball. Yet they still can't stop him. It's just ridiculous to think of that, that they literally have nothing else going for them. I mean, other than OBJ's sort of reputation, he hasn't done much this season either. You got Evan Engram there. He hasn't done much, you know. So it's kind of hard to imagine a guy that's literally the only offensive weapon on the team, and they still can't seem to find a way to stop him. And yeah, I think you're right. Top three back in the league right now, and he's doing it both through the running game and the passing game.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I grew up. I'm in Pittsburgh, so we get all the Penn State games. Everyone's Penn State fans. Nobody cares about Pitt. And I watched a lot of his college games, and I feel like I took him for granted now, and I regret it because he's unbelievable.
Yep.
And definitely. If I have second pick next year, I'd probably take him. It's a little bit early to say that, but we shouldn't be looking at drafts early. But has to be him and Gurley.
Yep, I agree 100%. It's got to be him or Gurley. I think those two are going to be 1 and 1A basically going forward in the fantasy football seasons. All right, so we're sticking with the running back theme here as well. We got Sony Michel, third straight 100-yard game. I don't know the last time that's happened in a Patriots uniform, probably way back when they had Corey Dillon, I'm assuming. I don't know how long ago it's been, but the rookie's really showing out. He kind of came into the league. You know, he got injured. He was having reports of fumbling the ball. But now he's the bell cow back thanks to two IR injuries to the running backs there. What do you think of Michel going forward, rest of the season? Where do you have him?
Dude, I mean, Sonny Michel is a talented runner in a fantastic offense. I absolutely love it. I think he's going to hit that 1,000-yard mark. He's been number two in red zone carries, according to Pro Football Focus, over the last 3 weeks. So he's getting the ball where it matters. And he's a must play, man. He's a RB1 right now. And where everybody's getting hurt, he's been fantastic.
Yep. Agreed 100%. Actually, I'm super excited because I do own him in my Dynasty League. The only negative side to having that is I actually put him on my taxi squad start the season thinking, okay, he probably won't have value until next year that I have a full stable of running backs. But about the third game in, I had to pull him off the taxi squad, and now I lost that taxi squad spot until next season. But at the same time, I'm glad to have an RB2 that I can plug in. An RB1 at that. I mean, he's been amazing, and I think going forward, he'll continue to be good, and you just plug him in and just play him. I don't think there's any question. You start him every single week.
Nope. And I mean, I did an article on the Patriots back in the offseason and their running back situations, like, and how we've had this misconception that they are a nightmare, which isn't fully, but the thing is, they've never had a talent like him. They've had running backs who are either 230 plus, like LeGarrette Blunts, who just were their short yard specialists. They had their little tiny receiving backs like Woodhead, Deion Lewis, who were specialists, James White. They never had a guy who's been all world. He can run, he can catch the ball in the backfield. They've never had that before. He's like right in between, and Bill Belichick's not a dummy. He knows how to use it and what a mismatch he is.
Yep, agreed 100%. And I think we saw how they're going to use him. I mean, he was getting the ball on nearly every play. I did get a little nervous when I saw Kenyon Barner in there for like a series. I was like, oh, here we go. They're going to have the three-headed monster again. But he played just that series, and then it was back to Michelle and James White. And I think both of them have value in fantasy right now. I think if you actually owned both of them, potentially you could start both of them and be happy starting them because they both had tons of value right now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially PPR formats.
Agreed.
Which, like I said, no one should be playing anything about PPR, but that's a different story for a different day. next one we have, we'll stick with the Patriots because we're all about transitions tonight for some reason. How about that Brady Mahomes matchup? Man, that was fantastic. This is just lighting up.
Yes, that was an amazing game. I loved watching it, and I kind of, you know, I was kind of caught between a rock and a hard place because I hate the Patriots. I wanted them to lose, but at the same time, one of my best friends is a Chiefs fan, so I was kind of like rooting for his team to lose. So I didn't know who I wanted to win that game. But yeah, super exciting game. It was insane watching Tyreek Hill go bonkers out there, and Kareem Hunt got back in the mix, and you know, Tom Brady and Gronk didn't have a great fantasy game, but overall I think Brady had a pretty good, you know, game. Obviously he came and won the game eventually. But yeah, very fun game to watch and very fantasy friendly game as well.
Yeah, Mahomes showed, man, that he's not just a play a bad defense and light it up. He came in and he gamed, went toe-to-toe with Brady.
Yep,
agreed. I hope they play again in the playoffs. I'd watch that game every week, man.
Yep, agreed 100%. All right, next one we got up is my boy, C.J. Beathard for the 49ers. So he's had over 17 fantasy points for three straight weeks. He's actually fantasy relevant, and no one really expected that. Once Jimmy G went down, they thought, okay, this guy's going to be terrible. The Niners are going to be a terrible, you know, offense. They've actually shown they can move the ball. What do you think of Beathard going forward?
I mean, is he better than Jimmy G?
He is not better than Jimmy G. Let's not get carried away.
he's had more performances where he's balled out than Jimmy G. He just doesn't have the paycheck or the pretty face. But no, Beathard's all right, man. He's a fantasy streamer and super flex. He should be probably starting in most situations. Their defense isn't that great. You guys can be playing from behind. So fantasy wise, he has to sling it.
Yep, that's a good call.
And he hung with Rodgers for a little bit.
Yep, for a little bit. Unfortunately, I lost that game last night. My wife's a Packers fan, so it didn't go well for me last night. But yeah, Beathard's got a lot of value. I actually wrote this in an article when he first, you know, was going to get the starting job after Jimmy G went down, that even last season he was fantasy relevant because he, you know, I think he had four rushing touchdowns last year. So he can definitely run the ball. I think last preseason as a rookie, he had like a 70-yard run in the preseason. So he definitely has that ability. So that kind of gives him a good floor. Up until last night, he'd been a dink and dunk kind of guy, which even in fantasy, you're dinking and dunking and you're getting those yardage to rack up. But last night, they opened it up to offense. You know, they got Goodwin back healthy. You know, he's running down the field, catching long bombs. So if they can keep doing stuff like that, I mean, he could have a ton of value because, I mean, Goodwin's extremely fast. And if he can stay healthy and they can use that strong arm that he's got there to get downfield, yeah, I mean, Beathard could be a top 10 QB by the end of the season if he continues this route. And it kind of goes to a testament of Kyle Shanahan. I mean, look at his career. I mean, he even going back to RG3, you know, he drafted Kirk Cousins, or he at least was a big part of that, you know, and then kind of groomed him into a quarterback. Then he goes to Atlanta, and Matt Ryan has a career season, and they go to the Super Bowl, and now he's in San Francisco. They got Jimmy G, you know, last year, who went undefeated when he started, and then they got Beathard this year, who's in his second year, and, you know, they're not winning games, but he's not playing terribly, that's for sure.
No, not at all. I mean, he's definitely talented. He's going to be enough to keep guys playing there and letting those young guys develop. And Goodwin was surprised. I didn't even know he was going to be back this week in all reality. I didn't think he was playing.
Nope, I agree. I thought him and Breeder both would be out, and they both ended up playing this game.
Yeah.
All right, next I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, so next one we have is Jameis Winston coming back out, being QB1 in fantasy. I think it's fantastic for the outlook coming forward. I think he's going to be top 12 QB majority of weeks, man. He has the weapons there. Fitzpatrick performed with those weapons. He did. I don't think he's going to have 35 a game, but I think he's going to produce enough to start, and you'll be happy with him.
Yeah, agreed 100%. I actually own him in my Dynasty League, and I actually thought about at one point this season either trading him or even at one point cutting him because I actually have Cam Newton and Jimmy G. Of course, Jimmy G went down, and that became a moot point, but I'm glad I hung on to him because, I mean, we saw what he's capable of, and you're right. I mean, Fitzpatrick was a top quarterback for those few games with this offense, and I think they got tons of weapons. Their defense isn't very good, so they're going to be playing from behind a lot. They have no running game, so they got to, you know, throw it constantly. And I kind of hope he throws more to Mike Evans, because in that league that I own him, I also own Mike Evans. But he got it spread around. He hit Brate for a touchdown. He had OJ Howard a couple times. You know, Godwin got it. Godwin got involved in there, and I think even Humphrey's got some targets there. So if he can keep doing that, you know, this will be an awesome fantasy friendly team.
Yeah, I mean, he has so many weapons. Life should be very easy for him.
Agreed.
Especially in his division where nobody plays defense.
Agreed, 100%. All right, next one we got up here is Aaron Rodgers. Does Aaron Rodgers make Davante Adams a top 5 fantasy wide receiver? Top 5 is kind of high up there. What do you think?
I think he's right there, right on the cusp. I mean, out of the top, out of all the receivers in the league, he has the best quarterback. And now that Jordy's gone and he doesn't have much weapons, he's feeding them, man. And Adams gets in the end zone. I mean, he has 6 touchdowns this year. Rodgers trusts him when it counts, and he's performed every single week. Like, he's a wide receiver 2 right now behind Adam Thielen, who's just, I don't even know. But, I mean, his lowest point total in PPR right now is 16.1 in a game.
Wow.
So he's killed it all season, and I think it keeps up. I mean, as long as Rodgers is there, he's got the best in the business throwing him, and their defense sucks, so they have to keep throwing.
Yep, agreed. And the weapons around Adams aren't that great either. I mean, I think we saw some of the rookies kind of showing out, but they are rookies. They're going to make mistakes. Randall Cobb can't stay healthy. Allison, I guess, will be back, but even he wasn't, you know, all world, you know, when he was in there. So it's basically Adams and Rodgers' show. They can't run the ball, so they're going to throw the ball quite a bit. And even when they can run the ball, they don't run it. They still throw more often than they run, so... Yeah, I think Adams top 5. I mean, I'm trying to count in my head who else would be on the top. Of course, Antonio Brown would be there. Adam Thielen would be there. Mike Thomas for New Orleans would be there, of course. Cooper Kupp, I think, actually was up towards the top there for a little bit. Of course, he's hurt now, so it might, you know, change. But I'm almost positive that he was a top 5 in fantasy points going into this season or going into this week.
So right now, after this week, Thielen's one, Adams two, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, Antonio Brown, Julio. So we got Thielen, who has Diggs, who's gonna dig into it, no pun intended. Tyreek Hill, who's boomer bust. D Hop, they have a lot of weapons there, so he's definitely still gonna be there. AB has Juju cannibalizing him, and Julio can't get in the end zone. So I think like he might not do better than those guys, but the chance of him hanging around with a hold on being all they have and being a good red zone threat, I think that's huge. I think that keeps him there.
Yep, agreed 100%. All right, what's next up on here?
Cowboys going out and spanking the Jags 40-7, and it was shocking. I couldn't believe when I saw that.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense anymore.
Yep, I agree 100%. I don't know what happened there. It's weird because I think that last year this kind of happened to them too. It happened a little bit later in the season, but they came out to our place. You know, we weren't very good, and, you know, we put up, I think, 40-some points on that defense as well. So I don't know if it's just that they're traveling that direction. They just are not good, or they're just going to have one game a year where they're like this. I think they missed Fournette. I think they missed that running game, and I think that actually helps their defense when they could run the ball. Yeldon is not Fournette. I mean, I know we want to think that, especially in fantasy, but he is not Fournette. A healthy Fournette makes that defense so much better. So I think they're missing Fournette, but I'm going to put this as a one-off against that defense. They just, you know, didn't show up to play that day, and I don't trust this Cowboys offense still.
No, I mean, Fournette changes everything. Defenses aren't going to respect dump offs to T.J. Yeldon. Like, they're going to be Fournette just pounding on him for four quarters.
Agreed.
I think it'll get better for them, but they need him back.
Definitely need him back. All right, last one we got here. Adam Thielen, we kind of just talked about him a little bit. Mr. Automatic, I think he's got, what, six straight games of 100 yards or more. We just mentioned he's the top receiver in the league right now as far as fantasy points goes. One, can he maintain this pace? And two, where do you have him not getting 100 yards? If you were looking at his schedule right now, where do you think that, what week do you put it in?
I don't know if it's sustainable. I mean, he's good, but it's unprecedented, especially with a player like Diggs across from him. Jets, he should be able to get it. New Orleans, his schedule's cake. Like, maybe New Orleans, Lattimore guards him, but he plays the slot, so probably not. I think Detroit's the best chance of maybe slowing him down.
Wow,
and that's weird. And that's weird to say.
Honestly, that's saying something too, because it's not like Detroit's like a great defense. So yeah, that's crazy. Maybe he
maybe Chicago.
Oh yeah, Chicago would be a tough matchup there for him. So
that's it. I mean, it's a Green Bay, New England, Seattle, Miami, Detroit, Chicago again. His schedule's not bad at all.
Wow, that's crazy. So if you own Thielen, congratulations. You might be winning your league this year because he looks like he's going to continue on that torrid pace that he's going at. And I can't remember what his ADP was, but I want to say he was at the peak. I mean, I want to say third round, maybe even be fourth round.
Yeah, I think he was like mid-third, fourth.
I think Diggs was actually a higher ADP. I thought that Diggs was going to have the bigger season this year, but it turns out that it's going to be Thielen.
I mean, Diggs, it definitely wasn't.
All right, let's talk a little bit about some waivers here. You got the waiver article that you did for goingfor2.com. I'll kind of give you the reins here and talk about who you got as your top pickups this week.
Cool. We won't have to get too much. We kind of brought two of them up already. Ito Smith's my top priority on the waivers this week. He is going to get the touches with Coleman or with Freeman out, and he's gotten the red zone carries, which I still don't understand, being he's a smaller back. But if they trust him there, that's good for fantasy purposes. So I'm going to spend a lot to get him. Other one we already mentioned on was Jalen Richard, especially Marshawn out. He's going to have an up role in that offense, especially because they're not good. They're going to be playing from behind and having to throw the ball. So his numbers should go up, as well as his targets and carries. We have receiver-wise, I think it's time to start buying Albert Wilson. First time he had the big game, I left him off the list because I thought it was a fluke, but he actually had the touches to go with it, not just big plays. And he had back-to-back 40-yard touchdowns
yeah.
to tie the game, to put them ahead, man. they trust him. He does a lot with the ball in his hands. And if Gase is actually wising up, he's probably their second most talented receiver next to Kenny Stills. And that slot role, he should get volume, and that volume should keep increasing. So I'm going to have him pretty high up there. I spent some fab on him this week. Myself, Taylor Gabriel's producing. He's available with like 70% of leagues. He has back-to-back 100-yard games. And that team's getting better. Trubisky's getting better. And Robinson's still getting a lot of coverage, leaving Gabriel open for big plays, and he's taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that Gabriel, those two big games, will pull some coverage off of Allen Robinson. As the owner of Allen Robinson, I want to see that volume come back his way.
Yeah, Robinson's had a little rough year. Have Cole Beasley, other receivers I have is Cole Beasley. I mean, he put 100 against the Jags. I don't think he's going to put 100 every week, but with Dak coming around a little bit, he's getting that volume. He was targeted 11 times, caught 9 of them. So that should keep up. He used to trust him and go to him a lot. I don't know where that was at the beginning of the season, but it looks like Dak found him again. And I also have Dak on there for the waivers. He's available basically everywhere because he's played terribly. Big difference this week that showed up was he carried the ball. He hasn't run well all season. He had more carries this week than he had the last 3 weeks combined. I think that's a big part of what opened up that offense with him having 80 rushing yards, which is basically a touchdown and a half, or basically two touchdown passes in fantasy points wise.
Yep.
So if he gets his running game together, he's available 75% of leagues. If he gets his legs going, and that's huge for fantasy, and you can play him here on out, at least matchup dependent.
Agreed. What about Beathard? Is Beathard under 50% owned, or has he been owned now after a couple of weeks of good fantasy numbers?
Let me double check. I don't think he's but definitely need to think about him there. Bear with me. Actually, left him off the list. I probably shouldn't have.
Well, you did the fantasy. I think you did the waiver article during Monday Night Football, probably, because that's when you posted it. So
I did it before Monday Night Football, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, he's a streamer for me. I don't know if I trust him week-to-week basis, but
two quarterback leagues, I imagine he's probably 100% owned, but one quarterback leagues, I don't know if anybody's bought into him just quite yet.
No, he has to be. Sorry, my computer's going slow. While I'm looking him up, other guys I have is Austin Hooper. He's still available in like 40-some percent of leagues, or 42% of leagues, and he's been getting targeted and catching a bunch of balls there. And he's turned out to be one of their better red zone threats. He's had back-to-back 70-yard games. And tight end's absolutely brutal this year, so he's definitely worth picking up. And it might be a time, which I hate to say because I've been anti this player for so long. I think it's starting to be time to grab Rashard Penny. He got 9 carries this week. He was more efficient than the other backs. He had 70 yards off the 11 total touches. So he had 6 yards a touch. And his 9 carries was second on the team in that full-blown committee. That's another one. The coach's wise is up. I think he might be okay there because they just want to run the ball.
Yeah, agreed. I actually got Beathard's ownership here on Yahoo Leagues. You. On Yahoo, he is only 6% owned. So definitely someone you'd want to look at in Yahoo. I'm assuming it's probably close to the same on ESPN.
He is available in 94.3% of ESPN leagues.
Yep.
So he's out there. And, I mean, this week's a rough matchup with the Rams. Then he has the Cardinals, the Raiders, Giants, Bucks. So he has 4 easy games coming up.
Yep. So if you got a quarterback in the next few weeks, maybe not this week, but the next few weeks, and you're looking ahead and you got someone on a bye, I would be looking at Beathard as a good fill-in because, yeah, you're right. That's a pretty cake schedule right there for quarterback. So outside of the Rams, you want to start him in pretty much any of those games as a streamer.
And even in the Rams, he might have to be playing from behind anyway, so it could be worth playing there. But you can pick him up, stash him on your bench if you have a deep bench and spot available. It could be worth it to think in advance for the streaming, especially with playoffs getting closer and closer.
Definitely. All right, you got any more on your list before we kick a quick break?
Actually, The one that surprised me, I didn't have him on my list at all because I didn't think he'd be available and where he was. I only know because he was available in two deeper leagues that I'm in, was Marquise Goodwin was on the free agents.
Wow.
Because I guess with the injuries and people thought he was going to be out longer than he was, got dropped. So keep an eye out for him. I don't have his numbers up for the ownership percentage. Just off the top of my head, I remember grabbing him today because he's really good. And with Beathard slinging the ball as much as he does, they had a connection.
I pulled it up here on Yahoo. He is available in 55% of leagues, so he has been dropped. So that's definitely someone you're going to want to add to your receiving core. I actually kind of lucked out because in two leagues, I had to start him. I literally had nobody else, and I wouldn't have started him otherwise. I didn't think he was going to play, and I had to start him. And, of course, I ended up winning both those leagues because of him, because he ended up going off last night. So it was a good thing there that I had to start him.
Yeah, man. I mean, keep an eye out. Guys sometimes slip and sneak by with being available, and he's available in 50% of leagues. That's awesome.
All right, I'll take a quick commercial break here, and when we come back, we will look ahead to week 7.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
3 shows, 1 podcast. The Talk Loud Radio podcast combines sports, nerds, and pop culture with the Pay Me No Mind show. Just down-to-earth sports and entertainment. The Clash of the Nerds Let's Podcast Show. The latest movies and video games with a dash of comedy. And the Armchair Fantasy Show. 8. Sleep Fantasy Sports. Find Talk Loud Radio on all the major podcast services like iTunes and Stitcher at talkloudradio.com and streaming on the Going for Two app for iOS and Android. Talk Loud Radio, where sports, nerds, and pop culture collide.
All right, guys, welcome back. I'm here, with, as always, with my co-host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. You can always follow the show after as we've gone live. I post it on YouTube as well as in the app. And, of course, you can follow us in the audio format on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn Radio. Just subscribe and listen to us in audio form. All right, Ryan, let's go ahead and start looking at some of this stuff for Week 7. What you got kicking off the Week 7 here? What's your hottest topic right now?
My personal favorite is Saints versus Ravens this week. Saints offense has been just unstoppable. And they're going into Baltimore to face the top defense in the league. Ravens right now, number one overall defense in yards, points given up, sacks. They put up 11 sacks this week. Obviously, they're not going to do that against Breeze, but it's ridiculous. They're number two against the pass, number three against the run. I'm curious if the Saints can keep up the kind of production that they have been doing, especially with those running backs like Kamara and how they produce against the defense. It's aggressive and flying all over the field. I'll be pretty riled up for this game myself, being a Ravens fan, but I think it's a hell of a game, and you don't see many just defensive powerhouses and offense powerhouses playing every week like that.
Yep, agreed 100%. And yeah, I think Breeze's struggles on the road, though, have been a little well-documented as well. So he's going to Baltimore, so I think that gives Baltimore a little bit of an advantage with Breeze being on the road, also being an outdoor stadium. And, you know, not being turf, you know, slows those guys down like Kamara and stuff like that. So this will be a game that if I'm the Saints, I want to run the ball. I want Ingram. So if you own Ingram, I think he's the one that you want to, you know, definitely plug into your lineups. I think he has a big game unless the Ravens, of course, slow him down. But I think the game plan going in is to try to run the ball on this defense the best they can. But when it comes down to it, it's going to be Drew Brees versus that, you know, great secondary. And I just think that's it's going to be a tough game, I think, on both sides of the ball. I think Ravens are going to have to really play at the top of their level, top of their game, and same with the Saints.
Yeah, Flacco can't mess up. I don't fully agree with the Ingram thing. I mean, if I have him, I mean, it's hard to bench him, but they've shut down everybody. I mean, James Conner, who's played well this year, has had like 30 yards against Baltimore. It's nobody's running. Oh, Mixon's had the best trail, and a lot of those are off dump passes.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they can do a pass the ball to set up the run. I think they want to run the ball. Now, will be a different thing, but I think if they can somehow establish the run with Ingram, I think that's the way they're going to win this game. Like I said, Breeze struggles on the road. It's going to be a tough game with being outdoors, and you know, it's going to be, I think, nice this weekend in Baltimore, so that'll help the Saints a little bit. It's not going to be nasty weather, so that's not going to affect them too much. But just Breeze on the road just scares me a little bit, and I think you start them all. I think you have Ingram, obviously you got to start him. Kamara, you're starting him. Mike Thomas, Drew Breeze, you're starting all those guys. So I don't think the Ravens defense is going to keep you from starting any of those guys, but at the same time, I think I would temper your expectations on what you're going to get out of them.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'd be playing the DFS.
Definitely not.
But, other thing, I know it's going to go away because I'm going to be sad about it. They're on six straight games without giving up a second half touchdown.
Wow.
I would love to see that one stay, but I think this is the week that ends.
Yep, agreed. I think they've gone on a streak, too, of not allowing a 100-yard rusher, something like 20 games now, I think, if I'm getting that right.
I think, yeah, it might be the last person who's loved Bell, if I remember right. It's... Now, the streak happens all the time with them stopping the run.
Yep.
But the touchdown one's so impressive this year. I just don't think that was going to last now.
Right. Yeah, I think it'll be tough against the Saints. All right, so one of my top ones is going to be the Panthers at the Eagles. I think both teams coming into the season had high expectations. Both of them haven't quite lived up to it just yet. Of course, Carolina had a tough loss last week at Washington. The Eagles have since turned their season around. Of course, they started the season with Nick Foles. Carson Wentz is sort of coming into his own. Alshon Jeffery is back 100%. I think we've seen that in the last two games. Of course, they still got Ertz. The running game for the Eagles is still sort of in flux there, but I think that Clement can actually be that guy eventually. Just overall, the fantasy implications of this game, when you got, you know, Cam Newton will probably be 100% owned. CMC, of course, is 100% owned. You got Alshon Jeffery out there, Carson Wentz. Lots of fantasy options in this game. It's going to be in Philly. I don't like Cam Newton as much on the road as I do at home. I think you're still starting him, obviously, but I wouldn't expect him to have a huge game here. Carson Wentz on the other end of that quarterback spectrum, I think that he can have a big game. I think we saw last week that you know, Alex Smith can move the ball. I think if Alex Smith can do it, I think Carson Wentz can do it. And Alshon Jeffery, I think... he surprised me. I mean, he came back from this injury like he had never missed a game, and he's been better than he was last year at this point this season.
Yeah, I mean, Alshon is good if he's healthy. It's just so long since we've seen him that way. Yeah, he looked great, and I had to play him in Scott Fishbowl this week, actually. I don't really have many options left because everybody's beat up. But, yeah, I agree. It's going to be a fun game to watch. Next thing I got, we kind of hit on a little earlier. I'm excited to see OBJ versus the Falcons. Their defense is giving up 300 passing yards a game, or 311, actually. And I think we see that huge game out of OBJ we haven't seen for a while. Everybody's going to be focusing on Barkley after his 200 yards of offense. And with, we mentioned him getting ripped on by the owner, he's going to be motivated. And he's going to shred the Falcons.
Let me ask you this. If they come out against this worst, you know, rated pass defense and they're terrible, let's say Eli's terrible, how long before they bench him? I mean, they can't keep putting him out there. He's not performing at all. They got to do something. I think if this was anybody else, you know, not named Eli Manning, we've already benched him already. If they come out against the Falcons and they throw up a dud there, I think Eli's got to get benched. They got to do something there. Am I right?
Who are you going to put? Kyle Lett, I guess? Will he be the fifth rookie quarterback get started this year?
Yeah, I think, that would be who the backup would be. You're right.
I really like Kyle Lett. I feel like he's like a mini Alex Smith. Just like Captain Jack Dowell, just a smart player, which, I mean, you can't get much worse than what Eli's done.
Yeah, exactly.
So bad.
It's just, I can't see him just keep throwing him out there. I mean, eventually they got to, I mean, it's kind of like when Eli was first in the league, when he was a rookie and they had Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner was, you know, he was not terrible, not as bad as Eli's been, but he wasn't great. And eventually they just had to put Eli out there and say, you know what, we invested in this kid, so let's put him out there. And, you know, he struggled that first year, but I think, you know, it did well for him the following season. I think the Giants are to that point in the season where, you know, if they're not going to play against the Falcons, they're not going to be anything this year. They're not going to be able to make any kind of run in that weak division. Then you just give up on the season and bench Eli, put the rookie in there and see what they have in the rookie and get ready for next year.
I mean, they're 1-5. You can't ride with them too much longer. Start building for the future. If you're not going to make the playoffs, why?
Yep, agreed.
Why tarnish Eli's career?
All right, we're staying in that division there, Eli's division, with the Cowboys coming to the Redskins. This is a big game for me because I live in the Washington, D.C. area. They literally hyped this up. It's Cowboys week. Cowboys are coming to town. It's always a big deal for the Washington Redskins, even when they're terrible. Of course, now they're actually, the Redskins are tied for first with the Philadelphia Eagles. Cowboys come in after a big win against Jacksonville. And everyone's kind of thinking that this is the game that'll kind of determine which direction these two teams go. If the Redskins can somehow find a way to beat the Cowboys, I think the Redskins have a chance to compete for that division. If the Cowboys come in here and put it on the Redskins the way they put it on the Jacksonville, I think that the Cowboys actually help their trajectory to have a chance to win the division. This division is terrible outside of the Eagles. I think the Eagles get their stride and they're fine, but if the Redskins or Cowboys want a chance to do anything, they're going to have to win this game coming up here. And I think as far as fantasy implications go, I think you got Ezekiel Elliott, Adrian Peterson, Jordan Reed. There's not a whole lot of fantasy implications in this game. And I don't know if, you know, obviously you're starting Zeke, Jordan Reed, you got to start him. I'm not putting guys like Alex Smith, you know, fringe players. I'm not starting any of those guys. What do you think of this game?
How do you feel about Dak this week against the Redskins?
The Redskins defense actually is pretty good. Actually, I'm coming into that Panthers game, and I kind of mentioned this on the podcast for Daily Fantasy, that I didn't think the Redskins defense was that good. I mean, they were ranked good, but I was like, they're not that good. They're, you know, the better on paper than they are in real life. And then they came out and played really well against Carolina. You know, Carolina's not an offensive juggernaut by any means, but they're a better offense than they've faced so far. And they played really well. So I think against this Redskins defense, and their strength seems to be their secondary. They got some good pass rushers in there. It's going to be tough for Dak. I think if I had to start Dak, I can do it after last week's performance. But if you have better options, which hopefully you do, because he's been terrible for most of the season, hopefully those first few games you played somebody else, I can't trust them against going against Washington here.
Nah, I mean, I probably wouldn't play him either. But yeah, the other guys, like you said, Zeke, Jordan Reed, those are really the ones I'm really comfortable with. I mean, Dallas' defense is a lot better than advertised as well.
Yep, even without Sean Lee, which used to be not the case. Sean Lee was out, and you played whoever you was playing, the Cowboys. But I think that they've got that rookie there whose name I can't even remember
Leighton Van Der Esch.
There we go, yeah. So, I mean, he's been pretty good. He's been good enough to keep the defense moving along without Sean Lee.
Yeah. That'll be a good game. That's the Eagles' division, though. It has to be, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's their division. I think that the Redskins are playing for the wild card if they've got a shot at it at all. But, yeah, I think the Eagles they're catching their stride, and it's going to be the Eagles' division.
Yeah. It's now going to be the Giants. Next one we got on the slate is the Houston Jags. I think it has implications everywhere. Again, Jags give up 40 points this week. They're still number one team against the pass, which is what Houston does. Houston's not really a running team. Lamar Miller's disappointed everybody. And I have major trade regrets that I made for him like 3 weeks ago. But, yeah, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins against Jalen Ramsey. You got Will Fuller. That's a good game. Those are some nasty matchups. And, I mean, you have to play Hopkins no matter what. But is he going to be your guy?
I think if I remember correctly, I think D-Hop had a huge game against Jalen Ramsey last year. I have to go look it up and see what he did. I want to say he had like 161 yards because everyone was scared to play him, and he went off. And I don't even think it was a Deshaun Watson game. It might have been, you know, was it Tom Savage that took over for Watson? I mean, I think that I have to go back and look at the stats, but he did have at least one big game last year against Jalen Ramsey. But yeah, this division is kind of interesting because it's like these teams don't want to win the division. I think like Jacksonville started off with 3-0. They've since, you know, they're now 3-3. Houston started off 0-3. They're now 3-3. It's like, who wants this division? I think this is the two teams that we would think, you know, logically these would be the two teams fighting for the first place. So this is a huge game as far as division goes. Fantasy wise, on Houston's side, obviously Watson, Hopkins, I think Will Fuller, even though he hasn't done much lately. I think Kiki Kuti, I think if you got him, he's probably starting. Probably not going to start Lamar Miller unless I have to. He hasn't been very good, and this defense is pretty good. Jacksonville defense is pretty good. On the Jacksonville side of things, I think you might be playing Yeldon, maybe Keelan Cole. I mean, other than that, you're playing their defense, and that's about it. Yeah. I'm definitely not playing Blake Bortles in this matchup. And that's really it for the Jacksonville side of things, unless for some reason Fournette ends up playing in this game, but I don't think he's going to play in this game either.
I think they said he's out till week 10.
Is that official, or that was you just heard? I had heard that last week too, but I don't think it ever became official.
No, I don't know if it has either, but I know I saw that a couple of places, but they need to just hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
Until he's back. But yeah, I remember Pro Football Focus had it where like they do the shadow coverage. Last year, Hopkins did have like 70 of his like 100 some yards were against Ramsey. So he definitely got the better of him last year. So I think it'd be a fun matchup. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yep, should be a good game. All right, next one I got on my list is Patriots Bears. I mean, the Bears, we don't know who they are yet. I mean, we thought they were a good defense, and then Miami comes out and does what they did to them last week. I know when they put Brock Osweiler in at quarterback last week, all of us DFS players all went to the Bears defense thinking, okay, it's Brock Osweiler. You know, what are they going to do against the Bears defense? And then he comes out and throws for like 350 yards and I think 3 touchdowns. So it's kind of like, who is this Bears defense? Are they the team that we thought they were earlier in the season? I guess we're about to find out because they're going up against the Patriots this week. Patriots coming off a big game against the Chiefs. I think they got 3 straight games now where they scored at least 38 points and going into Chicago there. It's going to be a tough game. I think the Bears defense is better than they showed against Miami, but it is the Patriots and they're hitting their stride. I think the Patriots do take this one. As far as fantasy goes, of course, you're starting all your Patriots. There's no question about that. I mean, you've got Gronk and Brady, even though Gronk hasn't done a whole lot. You're starting him if you drafted him. The only guy that's kind of on the fringe for me, and he had a big catch in this last game, and that's Chris Hogan. What do you think of Hogan and his chances of having fantasy relevance now that Josh Gordon is there?
I'm not playing Chris Hogan anywhere. I don't have faith. One big catch isn't that. I said any ones I'm trusting are Gronk, Edelman.
Not even Josh Gordon?
No. I never trust him to begin with. I don't trust him here. I trust the running backs too, like we talked about earlier, but I don't think I could play. I'd still be nervous to play Gordon.
What about if you're a Bears defensive owner? Are you playing the Bears defense against the Patriots?
Probably not. I'd probably stream it unless there's just trash on there, but I think there's enough matchups where you can find a good streamer this week.
And then the running backs here, which one do you start? I mean, you got Cohen, who's been the man lately, and Jordan Howard's been kind of a forgotten man. Do they get back to Jordan Howard and pounding the rock?
Not this game. You got to watch who they're playing. I think if you know it's going to be a low-scoring, ugly game where they're going to have the lead, then I'm playing Jordan Howard. But it's the Patriots. It's going to be a high-scoring game. They're going to be throwing. So it means there's gonna be a lot of Tariq Cohen. I think he has a huge game for them.
Agreed. I mean, we just saw what Kareem Hunt did. Not that Tariq Cohen is Kareem Hunt by any means, but I think he did a lot in the passing game too. So Cohen definitely is a good start.
Yeah. Kind of going to do the opposite. I'm going to go all offense this week. And this game is the Bengals Chiefs. There's the over-unders at 58.5 points. It's going to be just a fantasy points bonanza. Like, everybody's getting played this week. I've played both quarterbacks. Obviously, play Mahomes no matter what. But playing Dalton, AJ Green, Tariq Hill, playing Watkins, Kelsey, God.
Tyler Boyd,
Joe Mixon. Everybody's getting points in this game. I'm freaking excited for it. I think the Chiefs pulled the W out, but
I think Eifert might get points in the IR if this game's going to be so high scoring.
Dude, like, nobody's being stopped for them. I mean, AJ Green had a rough week this week against Pittsburgh, but he'll bounce back. I have no problem with that. Chiefs can't stop anybody, and they can't be stopped for something. It's going to be a great game.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of fun.
This is the game you're in a stack if you're a daily fantasy player. You want to have as much exposure to this game as possible. Offense galore in that game. So everyone's playing, and you want as much exposure to that game as possible in daily fantasy.
Yeah.
All right. Next one we got is Rams at the 49ers. And I think that this game actually has a little bit more implications for fantasy than people would think. Obviously, the Rams, you're all starting all the Rams. But I think on the other end there, we mentioned Beathard already. We mentioned Goodwin. I think they're both going to be relevant in fantasy this week. I think that they're going to be playing from behind, be throwing a ton. If for some reason Breida's back this week, I think he can be viable as well. I don't know if I'm going to play Morstad or Morstert, whatever his name is, that played last week when Breida got hurt. He had, I think, 12 carries and 87 yards. I don't think I'm going to play him. But if Breida's back, I think I do plug him in if I have to. What do you think of this game? You think it is a blowout?
I think it's going to be close, but I think it'll be a lot of fantasy points. And that actually reminded me, waiver wire pickup. We mentioned him last week, but everybody came back with the injuries. Josh Reynolds for the Rams, filling in for Cooper Kupp. Huge 6'5 receiver, uber talented. He's just behind a lot of talent. I think a lot of good receivers. I think he could be a nice impact player and step right in.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed 100%. I think with Cooper Kupp missing a couple games, you can have him for a few games there. And that high-powered offense, everybody's going to be viable to some extent. So I agree with that pickup as well.
Yeah, might play him daily as well. I like him there.
Yeah, it's a good call. He's probably cheap.
Real cheap, yeah. But no, I think it's good. I'd maybe have some Beathard, but I don't know. Marquise Goodwin, yes, I would. But next one we have should be a nice bounce back. We saw Baker have his first struggles of the year last week. And what's better for a struggling quarterback than Tampa Bay's defense?
Yeah, Tampa Bay, of course, fired their defensive coordinator. This defense is a mess. And Baker, he did. He's looked good up until last week. He looked like a rookie last week. And I think going to Tampa, I think that the Baker Mayfield bounces back. I think him and Landry are both really good starts this week. Yeah, can't complain about any of that there. I don't know if I'm starting Baker, if I'm playing fantasy football. Maybe Dele Fantasy if he's cheap enough after that bad week. But if you've got some of the skill players, you know, you got Carlos Hyde, you got Jarvis Landry. I don't know if Higgins is going to be back yet, but he'd be a good PPR guy if Higgins does come back. I don't trust Callaway quite yet.
I trust Njoku. He's been getting targets, man, since Baker's been in there.
That's a good call. Yeah, he's gotten tons of targets. I think he had his first touchdown this past weekend, I believe.
Yeah, I like Njoku. I think he bounced back. I'd probably stream Baker if he was out there for me to do that with. I don't hate it. But, yeah, I think he'll have a nice bounce back game. And it's such a great, man. Like, people are so hard on these rookie QBs and when they've struggled a little bit. He's out there for the first time this year. And these guys have played great. One bad game doesn't mean the player sucks. He's going to bounce back, and everyone's going to forget about that this week.
Yep, agreed. What do you think of them firing the defensive coordinator?
I think it's a baby step in the right direction. I think that whole coaching staff needs fired. They're such a badly ran team. Like, you get a second-round pick running back, you don't play him.
Yeah, that's. But, I was going to ask you, when do you think we see Ronald Jones? I mean, because Peyton Barber did have a better game this past weekend, but, I mean, he's still not, you know, he's not doing a whole lot.
I have no idea, man. Dirk Koetter, I don't know if he knows what he's doing. Like, I really don't. They're just, they can't play defense. They can't run the ball. They're so one-dimensional. I think they're one of the worst coached teams in the league.
Yep, and they're one of the most talented, too. They should be much better than they actually are.
They shouldn't. Everybody blames Jameis for it, but like, I saw people saying it was his fault this week. He was one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
But it's their coaching staff. They don't know what they're doing. They all need fired. I think that was the first of a lot of moves we're going to see.
Yep, agreed 100%. All right, that wraps up the podcast tonight. Tell everybody where we can follow you at, Ryan.
You can find me at Ryan Searfoss at Fantasy FB Connect. Find me on Facebook at Fantasy Football Connect Facebook page. Write the weekly waiver article here. Write the weekly streaming article for Dominate Fantasy Football. And always find me on Twitter. But pretty much everywhere.
All right, good stuff. Of course, you can always follow me at JeffLambert77. You can follow me right here on this podcast every Tuesday and Friday night on the Going for Two Facebook page. Friday night, we'll be doing our daily fantasy, so tune into that. Other than that, that's a wrap. Ryan, have a good night.
You too.